Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Father God, we come right now wanting to commit our hearts, our minds, our souls, our wills unto thee, Father. We ask thee, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, that you wash us and cleanse us, that we might be in right relationship with you, Father, that we might be in right fellowship with you, Father, that we may hear your word, but not only hear your word, but that we may be doers of your word and not just hearers, Father. That we may leave this place today, Father, knowing that we didn't hear from a preacher, but that we heard from God. So, Father, we come right now. Help us, Lord, to block everything off, every little thought, every little deed that we hadn't done that the devil wants us to think of during this time. Father, help us to block everything off and focus and concentrate upon your word and what you're saying, Father, to me, Father. In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, here I. Amen, if you're here. Amen. And praise the Lord. And we pray that we, when we leave this place, we go back home and we go back to work, go back to our neighborhoods, and let the glory of the Lord rise amongst us. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. And that's how we let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Is that we do what Acts chapter 5 verse 20 says, to go stand and speak. To go stand and speak, that we may make him known, that we may witness to the God that we worship to this morning. He's worthy to be told. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to preach a message entitled The Graveyard Revival. The Graveyard Revival. When you get home, you have to do this. This is your homework assignment. Read Mark chapter 5, the whole book. Mark chapter 5, the whole book. But we have for your reading this morning, as we stand in reverence to the Word of God, as we stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. We're going to read Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, 8 and 18. Mark chapter 5, 2 through 3, 8 and 18. I believe it is two slides. Let's read it this out loud together at the same time on three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. We're talking about this morning the graveyard revival. The graveyard revival. And in this text this morning, we're going to talk about the possessed man. We're going to talk about the powerful Messiah. And then we're going to talk about the proclamation message. The possessed man, the powerful Messiah, and the proclamation of the message. And we want Christians to know that Christians should proclaim what Jesus has done for them individually. This is the greatest witness that you can have, is not what he has done for somebody else, but what he has done for you individually. As a matter of fact, it probably would be a more powerful witness if you stop telling what other folk, the Lord has done for the other folk, and just tell what God has done for you. And we're going to talk about this morning again the graveyard revival. The graveyard revival. When you first hear that message title, you think about those who are in the graveyard and who are dead. You think about the dead coming to life. And you think about the graveyard revival, but there's something unique about this text. The new thing about this text is that revival would come not from that person that was dead in the graveyard, but the person who was alive hanging around the dead. Alive, but hanging around the dead. Now, you know that you have to have some kind of mental problems if you are alive, but you're hanging around the dead night and day. There's got to be something wrong with your mental capacity. If you are alive, but your homies are dead. I couldn't help but to think that maybe that's some of the problem of folk up in the church, is that you are alive spiritually. But when you leave this place, you go out and hang around the dead. Somebody's going to get that away on the way home. Somebody's going to get that. You've been made alive in Christ spiritually, but you leave this place and you go and hang around the dead. And I said hang around. It didn't say witness. Because he wasn't there trying to witness. And if he wanted to witness, he couldn't witness because they were dead anyway. Hello, somebody. But this man was alive, hanging around the dead. And there's always a problem when dead folk hang around living folk, and when living folk hang around dead folk. There's always a problem that you always have issues And that's what happens in the church. We got dead folk hanging around the live folk in the church. And there's issues in this place because you got dead folk hanging around live folk. And there's some issues. You're always going to have some issues. But in this text, this man was the only one in the graveyard alive.
Right.
Hello, somebody. He was alive. So if you have somebody alive hanging around dead, you know that there's an issue. And in the text, we find out what the issue was, is that this man was demon possessed. This man was demon possessed. As we get to point number one, the possessed man, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. This man was possessed. He was possessed. And maybe that is a clue to why he was hanging around dead folk. But he wasn't just hanging around dead folks. He was possessed. And that possession made him a strong man. No, nobody could hold this man down. He was a strong man.
Well,
say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. He was a strong man. He was a strong man, and no one could hold him down. No one could tie him down. It was evident that this was not a fake possession, because in our day and time, you have folk who are faking their possessions. In other words, they act like they have some kind of spiritual power, but they don't have any power, and they're faking and then they're shaking about the spiritual things in this world. And there's a lot of folk in the church and outside of the church who are faking and shaking that they have some kind of power, but they don't have any power at all. But this man wasn't faking and shaking. He had been exposed to some things that had made him not only crazy, but powerful. Hello, somebody. Have you ever met some crazy, powerful people? You better watch out when you try to follow some crazy, powerful people who like to hang around the dead, who want you to play a game and bring back the dead, and they always want to talk to the dead, and all of that stuff. There's something wrong with folk, live folk, when they want to hang around the dead. There's something wrong. Hello, somebody. He was a strong man. He was a strong man. For the Bible says in verse 4, it says, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the chains on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. No one was strong enough to subdue him. And this is what he did. Day or night and day amongst the tombs in the hills, he would what? Cry out and cut himself with stone. And cut himself with stone. They sound like that devil, Bible worship, where they tried to call on the fake God, and the prophet mocked him and said, is he asleep? They would cry out and cut themselves with stone. Watch it when you want to cut yourself. Hello, somebody. There's a dark and quiet secret that is going on in our society called people who like to cut. They get a high from cutting. Hello, somebody. This is not of God. This is of the devil. This may be symbolic of some folk who may be possessed. Hello, somebody. With an impure spirit. Hello, somebody. If you want to cut your body and do something with your body that is not of the Lord, it's probably satanically inspired. Hello, somebody. Before we just talk about the cutters, let's talk about some other folk. Not just the cutters, but the eaters. Hello, somebody. The people that don't take good care of their temple. Hello, somebody. Hey, I'm one of them, or I was one of them, trying to do better. Hello, somebody. I didn't destroy it by cutting the outside. I destroyed it by cutting eating too much. Hello, somebody. And all kind of side effects that happened because of that. Hello, somebody. Don't get quiet in here now. You were talking about the cutters. Now let's talk about the eaters. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. It can kill you. Kill you with a slow death. The doctors have told you for years that you need to rebuke. Ooh. That weight off your body. Ooh. Said, preacher, move on. You've been too convicted. Move on. Just talk about the person in the text, preacher. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. But this man in the text, he was a cutter, and he cried out, hung out with the dead night and day. He was for less. He was possessed. You better be careful when you deal with folk that are truly possessed. With people who really have satanic spirits in their lives. If you don't believe me, you remember that text? Where somebody tried to rebuke that satanic spirit, and he said, Paul, we know, Jesus, we know, but who are you? And that demon got on him, and then he ran out naked. Hello, somebody. Because he didn't have any power. He was faking and shaking in the church. He was one of those fake church folk, and that's why we need some folk who really know the Lord, that when they come in contact with the satanic forces, at least they know who you are. They know who you are. Oh, does the devil know who you are? You on his team. Hello, somebody. Are you working for him, or are you working for the Lord? This is some serious stuff. Some serious stuff. This man was possessed, and he was possessed by a legion. He had a whole lot of demons up in him. And nobody could handle it. Hello, somebody. He had no answers, no help. They couldn't subdue. They couldn't put him in the crazy house because he kept breaking out.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. They couldn't keep him in jail because he kept breaking loose. Hello, somebody. And the spirit was too strong. Oh, there's nothing that could hold him. He was possessed. He was possessed. And don't play with the satanic forces. If you don't know God, you better leave these kind of folk alone. You better avoid these kind of folk like everybody else. Do you think that they hung out in the graveyard when he was there? Hello, somebody. He owned that graveyard. Hello, somebody. Nobody went to Bethlehem Funeral Home, a funeral site, because that man was there.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Had to go to another place. Hello, somebody. And that's what happened when you have demon-possessed folk up in your church. Folk can't go there. They got to go other places. Woo! Because they can't handle the spirit that's within there. Hello, somebody. Woo! Hello, somebody. Somebody get that on the way home. Hello, somebody. Oh, I remember that preacher asked the question. Michael Ford asked you, are you gathering or are you scattering? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. What are you doing as a church, as a member of Bethlehem? Are you gathering or are you scattering? Do you have the spirit of God working on the inside of you? Or are there other forces at work on the inside of you? Woo. You know it by the fruit. Are you gathering or are you scattering? The people come to Bethlehem because of you, or do they avoid Bethlehem because of you? Woo. Lord, have mercy. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We got to learn to get these satanic folk up out of our church. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I'll tell a funny story before I leave this point about the possessed man. At my first church, a good member came to me. And that good member said, I got a friend. And she says her house talks to her.
her house is possessed. The house is telling her to leave. Pastor Eton, would you come to the house? would you come to the house? To which I said facetiously, if the house say don't come, I'm just gonna leave. There are other houses. Now, I don't believe that a house can be possessed. But I do believe that a person can be possessed. Hello, somebody. And this person in the church was truly possessed. There was no hope for him. No help. That somebody in a situation. Oh, you may not be possessed today, but you may be in a situation where there is no hope. Nobody can help you. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, I've been sent here, oh, this morning to let you know about a powerful Messiah. You may be in a hopeless situation. Oh, the doctors may say they can't touch it. They can't heal it. All they can do is turn you over. Oh, it may be AIDS. It may be cancer. It's a hard case. Don't nobody believe that anybody can help you. But I'm so glad that impossible situations, impossible places, impossible things, that I have a mighty and powerful Messiah in Jesus. Give God a hand clap of praise. Up in here, up in here. Oh, my life may be possessed. Oh, my finances may be possessed. My children are acting like they're possessed. Oh, even people at my work, at my job, oh, seem like, oh, but I'm so glad that I have once again a powerful Messiah. That when everybody else has given up hope, when everybody else has thrown in the towel for me, I have a powerful Messiah. The text said, oh, Jesus know how to deal with this legion. Jesus came on the scene, and they knew in the first place that they had met a greater power, and then Jesus began to speak. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Oh, come out of this man, you impure spirit. And Jesus talked to the stress. Some of you better get enough answer, enough belief in the God that you serve to be able to speak to the situation, to speak to the child, to speak to the beggar, to speak to the sickness in your body, and you say, come out in Jesus' name. You hear me say that name much, but don't take it lightly. I say that name so much because I believe in the power behind that name. And when I say in Jesus' name, I believe it. And we need to learn to speak to and spirit and pure spirit in Jesus' name. And just like that angel said, what? The Lord rebuke you. Who is the Lord? Jesus is the Lord. And you better learn to speak to the situation, to speak to the problem, because you have a powerful Messiah. I'm so glad that my Jesus can handle anything that I'm up against. My Jesus can handle any problem, any situation, any sickness, any trial, any tribulation. My Jesus can bring revival in a dead situation, revival in a dead heart, and in a dead mind. My Jesus. Do you have a my Jesus? Do you know him? Oh, do you know him? Is he your Jesus? Because if he is, you better learn to speak in his name. In Jesus' name. Said, come out of you, this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. You see, some of you don't realize, that you're up against many. It looks like one, but it's many behind this thing. It looks like it's one person. It's not just one. It's a demon-possessed person who's filled with many. But you don't have to be afraid. You don't even have to get upset. You don't have to worry, because guess what? Jesus can deal with many. Hello, somebody. When many people come against you, and they call you everything but a man of God, guess what? Jesus can deal with those many. When everybody gathers around and want to stone you for the sins that they are committing themselves in private, God can take care. When folk are coming against you at work, God can handle the many. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, Jesus can take care of my haters.
Take care of my haters,
whether it's one and many or many and one. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He said, we are many. He begged, even though he was many. He knew, that spirit knew Jesus was more powerful. The spirit knows. Dirty and impure spirit knows what God can't get his people to understand. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He said, and it says that he begged Jesus again and again not to send us out of this area. And you need to go back and see what happened to the legion. But we're going to see in the text that this man who had a legion in him ended up with a testimony about how God delivers. But you need to realize today, before you leave this place, that you serve a powerful Messiah, that you serve somebody that can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask. Can't imagine. You serve a powerful Messiah. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, Jesus is powerful. And the demons and imps in hell know it. I don't want you to know it. Hello, somebody. I said the demons and imps and hells and the devil know he don't have the victory, but he's going to act like he has the victory. And if you believe what he says as opposed to doing what the old folk used to say, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Those imps in hell know that when the people of God got one mindset to go over and conquer the land, the imps and the devils, trying to stop it, they knew that if they began to believe God and take God at his promises, that there was nothing that devil could do to stop them from inheriting the land. You see, the devil wants to confuse you. The devil wants you to deny your godliness and your child of godness on the inside of you, because he wants to keep his foot on your neck and keep you from walking into the promises of God, to keep you running around in circles like you crazy. Hanging around dead people like you crazy. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let me say it again. Going around in circles for 11 days journey. Hello, somebody. Like a crazy person. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We serve a powerful Messiah. He can do what he says he can do in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
Jesus' name. I'm so glad when these two powers met that Jesus came out on top. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. That's why I asked you at the beginning to go back and read this whole chapter. But I'm going to tell you the end of the story. The proclamation message. Then Jesus did not let him. Who was him? Wait a minute. The demon possessed, He said, Jesus did not let him, but said, go where? Home to your own people. And don't just go home. And that's what our problem is today. When we leave this place, we just go home. God ain't just don't want us just to go home. He wants us to do something. We are his messengers. He's got a message. Oh, and he said what? So go home and tell them how much the Lord has done for who? For you. And how he has had mercy on who? On you. Proclamation message. Go stand and speak. That's what this whole year is supposed to be about. And I don't need to, but I'm going to teach you or have someone else teach you some keys of witnessing. But the true key to witness is simply say what a witness. A witness is somebody who has first, who has seen it for themselves. Hello, somebody. A first-hand experience. And that's why we try to get you to make him known. Is if we can get you just to make him known by what he's done for you. Hello, somebody. Some of you may have been saved too long and forgot what he's done for you. Hello, somebody. Maybe you was crazy and hanging around dead people 30 years ago and you forgot. You've been saved too long and you forgot the message and the story. Hello, somebody. I think some of us truly has forgotten, because we get up in here and get on our holy and sanctifiedness and we don't remember. Hello, somebody. We don't remember. Oh, we struggled with drugs and alcohol. We don't remember. Some of us don't even remember that we struggle in a day, because it's not a blunt. It's a prescription drug. Hello, somebody. And you forget how God has delivered you. You used to be the town drunk. You used to be the devil's imp. You used to, you was the devil's biggest one. Mean man. Hello, somebody. Led thousands of people astray by the life that you lived, because the children were looking up to you. You forget. But if we're going to go and make him known, we've got to remember everything that God has done for us. And we've got to remember to tell the story. Tell the story. This man was literally crazy, hanging around dead folk. Hello, somebody. What a witness. And Jesus rebuked that demon in his life. And now he looks just like anybody. Hello, somebody. There were so many people Jesus did that for. Including many people up in here.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So why don't you go home, and don't just go home, but go and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Go and tell somebody. He said, tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Oh, many times you have to go and tell, because they may not have recognized him. Have you ever seen some folk? I've seen some of y'all past pictures, and look at you today. He said, "You melon rabbit." Hello, somebody. Sometimes you got to go back and you've got to tell them who you were. I was that crazy man playing Dungeons and Dragons and messing with all kinds of demon-possessed kind of, and God, I came in contact with Jesus, and Jesus delivered me from that power that was destroying me, that power that was trying to take my life, that power that was trying to make me lose my mind up in here, I was delivered because I met a powerful Messiah, and that powerful Messiah was more powerful than the gangs that I was involved in, was more powerful than the drugs that I was addicted to, more powerful than the money that I became addicted to, more powerful than the women that I was addicted to. Oh, my Jesus came in contact with me, and I was hanging around dead people, scarring up my body, thinking that I had power. Hello, somebody. God told him to go. You go back home. You don't need to hang out with you. Go back home and you tell. This is why there was a graveyard revival. It wasn't that the dead folk got revived. It was the live person that got revived and got delivered from a early grave. You see, the devil tries to get you to hang out to where he wants you. Hello, somebody. Hello, he wants it to be a short trip. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. The devil wants you to hang out or he can finish you. We call those kind of people, and some of these kind of people we glorify. These people that got a death wish. They possess. The devil's trying to kill you. Making you hang out. He wants a shortcut. He wants to take your life. That's why he's whispering in your mind that you might as well go and take all these drugs. Hello, somebody. He's trying to get rid of you. He don't want you to be delivered. He don't want you to be saved. He don't want you to definitely start telling other folk where other folk can get saved. Hello, somebody. That's his greatest fear. Because we can sit up here and we can have church all day. His greatest fear is that you believe what the word says and you go out and start making people other believers like you. That's his greatest fear. That's why he's coming against this church so much. It's because we try to keep the main thing the main thing. And he comes after the pastor, comes after the deacon, comes after everybody. Because if we get it, if we finally get it, we can turn this world upside down right here from Paul's Valley. All he needed was 12 to start that great church revival. And I believe we have more than 12 folk up in here. If we can get 12 folk or more than 12 folk to leave this place and go back and tell what God has done for them, then we could make a real difference. We could have all kinds of people up in here, folk from all kinds of lifestyles up in here. Those people being saved. When I talked about the 10 most wanted, when I first came here, the 10 most wanted we put in a box and we pray for, I talked about that person, that one person you put on your list that you just do not believe that God can save. That one person, this was that kind of person. Nobody would believe that this crazy man hanging around the dead day and night, cutting himself, screaming out loud that he could ever be saved. Nobody probably thought that he could ever be saved. But nobody at that time knew about the Messiah and that he was on his way. But there's somebody here today. You have the Messiah on the inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God wants you to show up next week to some of those hard places. God wants you to show up next week to some of those hard people. Oh, those folk you think will never get saved. Those folk you think they'll lost their mind. Those folk, God wants you to show up and have the power of the Messiah at work on the inside of you and to speak to the impure spirits in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hello, somebody. Jesus' name, that they may be up in here, sitting up in here, worshiping and praising the Lord in their right mind. And not only that, but going out and telling others about the Lord, that they serve a God, Savior. Oh, they have more testimonies about, hey, I was one of them folk in the box. I was one of them folk you prayed for. Oh, and them folk going out and telling others. It's eyewitnessing. Go out. And the man, guess what? He went out and started telling others about him. In verse 20, the end, he told them how much Jesus had done for him. And guess what? And the people were amazed. When was the last time you amazed somebody? Hello, somebody. When was the last time you amazed somebody? Hello, somebody. God didn't save you just for yourself. Yeah, that's right, Reverend. You were saved to save. Save the save. Are you willing? The proclamation message. Just tell others what God has done for you. Make him known by simply telling others what God has done for you. Amazing others because of the God in you. Are you willing to go home and tell? Not just go home, but to go home and tell. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Deacons, will you come? Talked about today the revival or the graveyard revival. Graveyard revival. Saints are praying. We learned about the possessed man. We learned about the powerful Messiah and the proclamation message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you what he had to go through. Jesus was God's only Son, sent to this world. He was sent not only to have power on this world, but he was sent to die. He was born in a place called Bethlehem, was raised in around 30 years old, he began his ministry to prove that he was the Messiah. He did all kinds of miracles to prove that he was the Messiah, had the right lineage to prove that he was the Messiah. But everything on this night came to head when he had to pray in that Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he prayed that prayer, he would have to stop being the almighty and powerful Messiah. But he had to die. He had to give up his power. And they came and took him out of that garden. And they mocked him. They scorned him. They beat him. They tried him for crimes that he didn't commit. Because he had to, in that garden, lay down his power. powerfulness, and they whipped him, mocked him, scorned, and put a crown of thorns on his head, put a cross on his back, and led him through the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, they put him and took him to that hill called Golgotha and nailed him to the cross that he was carrying and raised him up between two thieves. Oh, he had emptied himself of that power, but still they couldn't take his life. He had to, on that cross, give his life away. He had to die for you. He had to die for me, because he had to die for the sins of the world. No matter what sins that you have committed, God has died for it. No matter what background that you have, God has died for it. And if you're willing and able to confess that Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, because they took him from that hill called Golgotha, put him in a borrowed tomb. Oh, if he laid in that borrowed tomb, oh, one day he laid in that borrowed tomb, 2 days he laid in that borrowed tomb. Oh, but the Bible says that on the third day, I said on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. That same power he laid down before the cross, he picked back up, and he still has that power today. And through that power, we as Christians who come to know him don't have to be a victim of any other power. Oh, because if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot be possessed, because you got a greater power on the inside of you. You got a greater power on the inside of you, and that great power can be used for you to go out and reach other folk that may be possessed in Jesus' name. I said to reach other folk that may be possessed in Jesus' name. But if you can believe that Jesus was the Son of God, he died and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. So why don't you slip out of your seats and come on down and say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And maybe somebody else today, maybe you're saved, but you have never been baptized. Maybe you're saved, but you need somebody to pray for you. Maybe you're saved today, but you need to submit to God in ministry. Maybe it's a testimony. Whatever it is, let go.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.